We are continuing our lecture on integration in Christian counseling, where we've talked about history, we've talked about some of the distinctives, some of the challenges in how do we think about different people's problems. We ended by talking about 1 Thessalonians 5:14, where we see different roles for the counselor, or any Christian, because this verse was addressed to all of us, where you admonish those who are idle, those who aren't working, those, or perhaps the word might be unruly. We encourage those who are faint-hearted. We help the weak, and we encourage everybody. We have talked about how in the development of Christian counseling, there were two schools who both have very good names, biblical counseling and Christian counseling. Well, they're both good, and that's what we all want to do, counsel from the Bible, counsel as Christians. But these names have been attached to different ways of approaching things. An article that I read that really helped me put these into perspective was by Dr. Timothy Keller. Dr. Keller is a pastor and a scholar in New York City, and he wrote an article called Four Models of Counseling in Pastoral Ministry. Four Models of Counseling in Pastoral Ministry. He is going to explain, and I'm going to try to just share with you what he has said. He's going to try to explain how Christians have created these four different models, help you see a little bit about what each one brings and what their weaknesses are. Dr. Keller is, he says that he is a biblical counselor. He and his wife, who is also a professional counselor, were very influenced in their young life by Jay Adams. And then as time has passed, they've softened a little bit and seen some of the weaknesses in the early portrayal of that view, but he still is in that camp. But he's so fair to everybody that I think it's really useful, even if someone would say, well, that's not really my view, he's fair about that. And so that's why I really liked this article. He says that anyone engaged in counseling today, pastoral counseling, not only has to deal with the problems before them, but there's these different frameworks or philosophies of how we come at counseling. And that's where some of the controversy lies. How do you fully engage with biblical thinking, using Scripture and trusting the Holy Spirit and the gospel? How do you use that wisely? And that's what he's addressing. He says there are four different models. The first one, he says, he calls it the levels of explanation model. In this, he simply says that the psychologists and the Christians are sort of in two separate worlds. He said there are Christians who study psychology, and they see certain problems at this level and other things at this level, and they're just separate, so that there's really not much conflict. So he will say that the Bible looks at the human spirit and the relationship with God. That's what the Bible's for, the human spirit and its relationship with God. Psychology looks at how the brain functions, how people adapt and react to natural and social environments. So they provide different things. Well, that sounds good. I understand his point. You can see that. But he says the critique is actually the Bible and psychology actually do look at very many similar things. Motivations, both address motivations, both address suffering, both address abuse, anger, worry, fear, a desire for meaning in life. So you can't really keep these two stages because they have to intersect. Each has its own view of how these things work. And so if you're trying to keep them separate, you won't be successful because the Bible wants to have its say and secular psychology wants to have its say. And those who are trying to sort of blend those have their hands full. It's a hard job. Then he talks about the second model, which he calls the integration model. integration model starts with this, that psychology and biblical theology are both looking at the same thing. They're looking at the human, at human nature, what's gone wrong with it, and how can it be made right. Okay, we could agree with that. But they're using two different tools. That's the language here. Two tools to study this. One is general revelation. So we learn general revelation without the Bible. We know that God is the creator of what we see around us. That's general revelation. Anyone should come to that conclusion. Special revelation is what we find in the Bible. It's special to the Bible. It's something that God gave us directly in Scripture. He says when it comes to counseling, we have these two, not levels, but two tools, and we can use them both. He says that in integration, always, in this view, this isn't Keller's view, but this in this view, that the Bible is always used to be the evaluator, the critique of general revelation of psychology. So the Bible always has the upper hand. He feels that this approach is too elastic. It's too easily bent and flexed in ways that maybe wouldn't be wise. My reaction to that is, well, then it just depends on how it's applied. It's not really fair to say it's good or bad. It just depends on who's using it. His third model is what he calls the Christian psychology model. The Christian psychology model. We've had the levels of explanation. We've had the integration where you have two tools. He says the Christian psychology model is different. And just so you know, this is sort of the view that I would adopt. Dr. Keller will adopt the fourth one. The basic premise is that counseling can't be done with this sort of a grab bag. Do you know what that is? Reach in and grab out anything. Of techniques and procedures. The Christian psychology model understands that psychology is not objective. Secular psychology is not objective. It's not so scientific as they like to think. It's full of theories about people based on the things they've looked at. But those theories aren't always right. In fact, they're usually mistaken. Secular psychology tries to locate people's problem anywhere else but sin. Anywhere else but sin. Christian psychology insists that counselors must have a strong biblical theory narrative, a biblical theory narrative. That is, we have to think about the Bible and how it explains human life and its relationship to God. The Bible must critique psychology systematically, not just in piecemeal, I don't like this and I don't like this, but as a system. We approach all of that and study it from Scripture. Unlike the biblical counseling model, he says, this approach leaves counselors more freedom to incorporate psychological insights that they might have learned from a course in college or something that the counselor feels is in sync, is all right with our view of creation, sin, and so forth. He said that this view often looks to the church's past, to the church fathers, to issues of spiritual direction. Remember when we talked about spiritual direction? Well, he says that's more common in this view, and that's one reason I like it, because I think that makes sense. He says the bottom line is it's a very strong critique of secular psychology. That's good. And yet it has a certain willingness to continue using psychological terms and techniques. And I would agree with that. I think that's true. He says that he feels it grants too much power to the counselor to decide about those things. He would just like you to leave off anything from the secular side. You see the idea? And I think my view is, no, I don't agree with that. But You can see the discussion. You can see the intellectual thing we have to think about.
While we continue being a benevolent project, your kind donations will continue to be vital in fulfilling the calling of TVS Ministry. We do count on your gracious support and cooperation. For detailed information, please visit tvsseminary.com.
The fourth model of counseling that he gives us is what he calls the biblical counseling model. He says the basic premise, which we have been over before, is the conviction that modern psychology brings with it underlying non-empirical, that is, something you can't prove, kind of quasi-religious narratives of how life works. And it's all not true. It doesn't fit at all with biblical revelation. He said that there's an older approach to this and then a newer approach. The older approach, which was started by J. Adams, has been refined and colored as the years have passed, which is true with everything. There's no theory that doesn't start with somebody, and then it gets refined as people work on it and think about it. So this is no different than any other. The new generation of biblical counselors has pointed out, gently but firmly, that this was basically a behavioral model. That in human nature, we ignore, it shoots to get people to behave differently. Just shape up, stop it, and do the right thing. He says it ignores the way the heart works sometimes and what motivates people. It's not so easy to just stop it. You can't just say to people, don't do the wrong thing, do the right thing because that's what God requires. Even to say, and God will help you, doesn't necessarily change it if you don't understand the heart and the motivations. And that's what the later followers of J. Adams began to understand and explain. This newer idea of biblical counseling avoids making behavior the fundamental issue. Do you hear that? It avoids making behavior the fundamental issue. It emphasizes worship, all of us, all parts of us given over to God, and faith in God. So the emphasis has switched from behavior to worship and faith, all biblical, but just a different emphasis. So the bottom line, he says, is that this viewpoint presents a very strong critique of secular psychology, and it is least inclined to incorporate anything from that world into its thinking. He says, though this theory looks extremely attractive, it looks attractive because who can argue with biblical counseling? Right? Who would argue with that? None of us would. It may be that it appeals sometimes just to a certain temperament, one that likes to exhort better than it does to listen. We all know people. Maybe you're one of those. You just like to tell it like it is. Or maybe you're somebody who goes, I really love to just listen and help people come to understand. It's personality. And some personalities gravitate to one, and some gravitate to another.